At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Impact Texas, a public service of Cumulus Media Dallas on New Country 96.3 KSCS.
What's up? My name is Hondo. Each week we bring you events and organizations, issues, concerns all around North Texas, making a difference and having an impact on the lives of each and every one of us. It is October. That means it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And that means, naturally, we're going to talk to Coleman, right? I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek because Nicole and I were talking about this the other day when we were setting up this interview. In the 10 years that I've done this interview, it's always been Breast Cancer Awareness Month in October. And in October, we've always talked to an organization dealing with fighting breast cancer, dealing with assisting folks who are fighting breast cancer. But we've never actually talked to Coleman. Can you believe that? It is ridiculous. I slap myself on the wrist. And I am completely ashamed of myself. So that's what we're going to do today with my friend and the executive director of Coleman Dallas. She is Nicole Metcalf. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I'm going to have you come a little bit closer. You can talk into the mic. Yeah. Now, you have been in the role of executive director, kind of running things now for, what, 3 years?
About 3 years, yeah. Going on my 3 year.
Okay. But you've been a part of Coleman now for nine.
About nine, yeah. So I started on the board. And then I was slated to be the president-elect when we lost our ED and decided, you know what, I'm ready to try something different. I was a commercial litigator for about 10 years at Jackson Walker and decided this is a cause near and dear to my heart. So I'm going to try to run a nonprofit and see what I can do to beat this disease.
I was just going to ask you what your background was before you came into the nonprofit world. So that's kind of cool. And you said it was near and dear to your heart. Did you have a family member affected by breast cancer? What, of all the nonprofits, always ask folks, why this one? You know, why the food bank? Why homeless? Why breast cancer? What drew you to Coleman?
So my mom is a survivor, and she was diagnosed when I was in law school. And so ever since that time, I have really been connected to the cause. I was connected before. I'm a Zeta Tau Alpha, so I did the philanthropy chair thing for a long time. But then when my mom was diagnosed, it became incredibly personal, of course. And so for me, I was on the board, and that was a great way to contribute back. But again, when this position came open, thinking about making it a career choice was huge and a great way for me to step in there and give back to an organization that gave so much to my mom.
Has it been everything you thought it would be, like, or that you hoped it would be, I guess? Thinking about it, like, when you think, okay, I think I might make this career move versus I really want to do this career move. Like you said, like, my stepmom passed away of breast cancer. Yeah. And my grandma had cancer as well. So there's a kind of a different mindset there when you're thinking, hey, this company looks good, right? I get to talk on the radio all day. That's not a bad thing. And then the mindset of, I really want this to work out, because then you're putting your heart into it. You're putting everything into it. Now, looking back at, you know, 3 years in the role you're in now, plus the six or so before that, has it been everything you thought it would be?
Yes and no. On the one hand, when I started, I'll be honest, I was sort of this cocky lawyer who thought, oh, I ran million-dollar cases. Sure, I can run a nonprofit. And it was an incredibly humbling experience in the first year. I learned a lot. I grew a lot, I think, as a person, and really started to appreciate truly what Coleman is doing to help those who are going through breast cancer, but also preventing. I got to see all the inner workings. I get to work alongside headquarters and knowing what's going on with the research component. So it really opened my eyes to how much good this organization truly is doing in the breast cancer space.
Again, my name is Hondo. It's Impact Texas, hanging out with my friend and executive director for Coleman Dallas. Coleman-Dallas.org is the website. The 2018 Dallas race for the cure is right around the corner. We'll talk about that momentarily. North Texas Giving Day was huge, like $4,800 billion or so. I mean, I think North Texas alone could just solve the debt issue that we have in this country, really, if they put their mind to it. Like, let's just say, hey, we need $20 trillion and go, and Dallas could do it. 40-something million, almost $50 million, of which Coleman was a part of that and did very well. So the mindset of this community, of all of Dallas-Fort Worth, not just Dallas, but the entire Metroplex, is a very giving mindset. However, one of the things I love about Komen is the current campaign of More Than Pink, because I think sometimes certain organizations, they come up with this brand or this marketing plan, and they become known by that, and that's all anybody knows. And after a while, honestly, and it's not just nonprofits, it's companies in general, that's all you become known for, and it almost becomes numb in people's minds. And then as a nonprofit, you're going, okay, how do we get ourselves out of this box that we're in to let folks know that we are more than just a pink ribbon? We're just more than whatever it might be, right? A stapler, whatever this thing is, hole puncher. We're more than that. We do a lot more than that, and people need to know what else we do. So in the 3 years now coming up that you've been the executive director, what's been the biggest challenge for you in getting the word out about Komen and what you all do and getting the mindset past a little pink ribbon that, okay, yeah, that's cute. Yes, breast cancer sucks. Like, you all do so much more than just the pink ribbon.
So we've been really focused on all of our messaging, making clear what we're doing, and clearly identifying to our donors and contributors where the money is going. We're trying to be more transparent about how many specific screenings they're funding, diagnostic, treatment, patient navigation, education, transportation vouchers they're funding. On top of that, we are also trying to make sure all of our messaging identifies specifically what types of research. Right now, we have a heavy focus nationally on metastatic breast cancer. It is the most deadly, and currently there is no cure. A woman who is diagnosed, or man for that matter, with metastatic disease will ultimately die from that disease. So we're trying just to make sure that any messaging that we send out there, we are specific about what we are doing, and it's not just, hey, we're helping breast cancer, come wear this Komen pink ribbon shirt, come put on a tutu, come have fun with us. The fun has a very meaningful purpose, and we want people to know what that purpose is.
And so getting that message out that, hey, this is more than just a walk, right? It's more than just a good time, like you said, putting on a pink tutu, which I am not above doing. I am just going to tell you right now, I will wear a pink tutu for a good cause, and maybe just because. But there was a couple things. One, you mentioned transportation vouchers. So again, breast cancer and Komen, the link there is not just, hey, screenings, hey, surgery, hey, recovery, right? There's life that goes on in these women and men, and that's the second part of what I'm going to talk about in a second, that has to continue so that light bills get paid, so that kids get taken to school, so that mortgage and rent gets paid. There's life that continues. It's not just surgery and recovery and slap on the back and let's go walk, everything's cool, right?
That's 100% correct. We often get calls from patients who need rent assistance. Even what we are trying to do is make sure we break down any kind of a barrier that keeps someone from seeking treatment. And so, or even just taking that first step, quite honestly, because think about it, if you don't have transportation and you find out that you're diagnosed with breast cancer, of course your mind is going to go to, well, why should I find out to begin with? Because I can't get to treatment, so I'm just not going to find out. Or fear creeps in of, I don't want to know because I don't have those resources to know that I could battle the disease, so I just don't want to know.
It's easy to give up. It's exactly. Very easy to give up.
Exactly.
And not just that. Even if you want to, even if deep down you want to, but you don't feel you have the means, either the financial means or transportation, whatever, it can add so much stress in somebody's life that other health issues creep in. You might start eating to get rid of the depression. You might start drinking. You might start doing all kinds of crazy stuff, or just stress itself. So then not only do you have this possible concern that hasn't been proven yes or no yet, but you think you might, maybe you felt a lump or something like that, oh, this is going to be horrible and I don't have the money and blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, you've added so much stress onto your life that now you're dealing with hypertension, you're dealing with all sorts of other stuff that doesn't have to be the case.
Right, 100%. And I think, too, the case is you don't even want to get screened because whether you have a lump or don't, you know, there's always preventative measures. If you're of average risk, meaning not really a family history, 40 is the age that we say you should get your start getting your regular screenings. But would you even take that step if you didn't have other resources available, or it's just not top of mind. What's top of mind is, how am I going to feed my kids? How am I going to get to and from work? I need to find a job. Those sorts of issues. What we want to do is provide other services, not just the hardcore services of screening, diagnostic, and treatment. That's important, but we need to also be there to help break down those barriers through things like the transportation vouchers. Komen also has a treatment assistance fund, so it also helps offset some of the costs of medications, lymphedema therapy, those sorts of things. So someone can feel confident and not fearful to take that first step, whether they have a sign or not, but just as preventative care.
What about, I was looking at here again on the website, which is komen-dallas.org, some of the stats and the facts dealing with breast cancer. There are actually, we're going to talk about this in a moment, because when you talked about preventative, and when you talked about especially when you do kind of feel a lump or something, and you're like, I just don't want to know. So you just kind of bury your head in the sand, right? Well, knowledge is power, and at least knowing what the signs are. So we're going to talk about that in just a moment as well. The amount of research that Komen puts into prevention and elimination of breast cancer is ridiculous. It's insane. It's more than anybody else by far.
Correct. So we are second only to the U.S. government in terms of spend on research, and have been involved in every breakthrough since our inception back in the 1980s. And so we are very dedicated to making sure we are on top of all the latest and greatest research. For example, the Taylor X study that just came out recently, I believe in June, identified certain types of breast cancer that we know aren't responsive to chemotherapy. So now people that have that type of breast cancer have another option. Chemotherapy, of course, is very invasive and very aggressive, and tends to, you know, take somebody out for quite some time. And so now we're starting to learn more and more about the disease to create more specialized treatment, more specialized ways that we can battle the disease and not put a man or woman through so much hardship.
Which 10 years ago wasn't the case. I mean, it was like, here we go, you're diagnosed or concerned, or, you know, you feel the lump or whatever, your mind immediately goes to chemotherapy, and the doctor's mind immediately goes to, all right, well, here's our treatment plan, let's go. And now there's, because of the research that Komen is doing, which is funded by folks that are going to show up at this walk, right, and that are donating to you all on a daily basis, because of that, because of everybody getting involved, as I alluded to earlier, Dallas could solve the national debt. There's other treatment plans that weren't available 5, 10, 15 years ago.
100%. So it used to be a one-size-fits-all approach. And as more and more research, as we've been able to raise more and more funds to support that research, we're starting to realize, or we've long ago started realizing, that that's not going to work for everyone. Breast cancer is not one singular disease. There's no one-size-fits-all approach. That's why, you know, I commonly get that question, you guys have been around forever, why no cure yet? Well, it's because it's not about one singular cure. It's about multiple cures, because the disease is complex. It comes in multiple stages, multiple types. I already mentioned one, metastatic, which is stage 4. You have triple negative, you have ER positive, you have all kinds of different subtypes of the disease, each responding differently to different types of treatment. And then when you factor in just the human body, we're not all built the same, that you're going to have to take more specialized measures. And we've come a long way through our research in identifying what those measures need to be, and then making those the standard of care.
Let's talk about, I want to go back to one myth that you alluded to earlier. Men can be men sometimes. That's the best way I know how to put it, sister. Sorry. And you're talking about women maybe feeling a lump or some sort of sign that something's just not right, burying their head in the sand. Men will bury their head in the sand so far that they can see Australia. And so kind of talk a little bit about, because that's one of the myths out there, is that only women get breast cancer, and that is not true at all.
Definitely not the case. And I have heard from talking to our community partners, what men often will say is, well, I don't have breasts, so I can't get breast cancer. Well, no, those man pecs there, those are breasts just like everyone else. And the signs for men and women are exactly the same. And so I think typically probably men have this thought of it's a woman's disease and aren't so quick to take on the necessary preventative measures, just the same as women. Men need to know their bodies, know their breast area, just like women do, to make sure that either you're making sure you don't see any signs, and then once you do, knowing what to do to go forward and find out if you have breast cancer.
So on the website, which everybody should bookmark, even if you've got an iPhone, you can still bookmark it in your phone and have it with you at all times, because it could save your life. Komen-Dallas.org has the 8 signs of breast cancer. So let's go through those real quick.
Sure. It's not just about a lump. Now, lump is typically the most common type. There is also nipple discharge, any discoloration of the breast, any change in shape or size of the breast. There is also along the lines of seeing any kind of a rash. And on that one, incidentally, that one typically tends to be the most dangerous, because typically a rash is a sign of inflammatory breast cancer. And so for women, I think they see that, or men again, would see that and think, oh, it's just a dermatological issue, let it linger, and then go seek counseling or seek help from a physician to remedy the rash. And it tends to be more aggressive. And so with that in mind, if you linger and delay getting care because you think it's just a simple rash, then that can lead to later stage diagnosis just for a rash in general. Aside from that, there's puckering. If you see any change in nipple shape or size, that can also be a telltale sign. Basically, anything that is not normal for you in the breast area, have it looked at.
And some of these, just from what you're telling me, I mean, like a rash, you can go spend a week at such and such lake. I don't want to call anybody's lake out in particular. I mean, you could spend a day with some people and, I mean, end up with a rash, you know? Like, some of these signs could easily be misconstrued for something completely different, and very easily say, oh, it's just a rash, and put some ointment on it, or it'll go away. I was probably at the lake, or I was probably hanging out with my mother-in-law or something. You know, whatever it might be. I'm sure your mother-in-law is very much nicer than mine was.
She's wonderful.
Yeah, she's awesome. Mine, not so much. But there's these signs that could easily be construed for something else and overlooked if not taken seriously.
Correct. And I think the rash is probably one of the key ones. We do encourage women and men to still do the self-exam, but it's just, again, it's not the primary thing to do. Still do it to see if you feel any kind of a lump. Again, that's the most common sign. But there are so many other things that you need to be aware of. And those 8 signs, and I mean, even in addition to that, like I said, I can't emphasize enough, just know what is normal for you and anything that looks out of the ordinary. Wouldn't you rather be safe than sorry? The only thing that really is going to happen is you get clarity that it's not what you thought it was. It wasn't the worst case. And if it is breast cancer, then you know that you're ready to do something about it and you caught it early. And that's the key to survival, is catching the disease early.
And my name's Hondo. It's Impact Texas, hanging out with my friend and executive director for Komen Dallas, Komen-Dallas.org. Race for the Cure 2018 for Dallas is coming up, like, real quick. We're going to talk about that here in a moment. I cannot wait. I love this event every single year. We're talking about myths. Actually, we're talking about breast cancer in general. There are some myths out there that are just, okay, that's crazy. That's not right. And then there's some that are just dumb. And so let's talk about some of the myths, because, you know, when we're talking about burying our head in the sand and such, I think some people bring on fears about breast cancer or cancer in general on themselves, which again adds additional stress, which adds other health factors, which is stupid, but they do it anyway. So things like cell phones,
yes.
Certain bras, you know, just...
Deodorant,
my God. Deodorant is not going to give you breast cancer. Please, I implore you, wear deodorant. But some of these, what are these crazy myths out there that you hear on a daily basis that are legitimate to other people? I make fun of it, but that are legitimate fears that folks have for one reason or another about breast cancer.
One of them is that the mammogram itself, actually from the radiation or any type of radiation that is from that process, in itself causes breast cancer, and that's just not true. There's no scientific evidence to back that. And mammography is still the number one way to find breast cancer, is the first step. The deodorant one is another one that I frequently hear. If you wear deodorant, also underwire bras, the wire in a bra can cause breast cancer. All of those are pretty common myths. What we know is that what gives you greater risk of breast cancer is alcohol usage, not eating correctly, family history. Family history is the biggest one. Know if you have a family history, not just of breast cancer, but just cancer in general, to know that you have a higher susceptibility to types of cancers. And then also exercise. If you're not exercising regularly and taking care of yourself, that's another risk factor that you have to consider.
She looked at me very strangely when she said, if you're not exercising. I'm not sure what that meant.
Hey, I just Zumba'd yesterday. It was like the first time that I...
Did you? Did you like Zumba?
I did. It was really fun. Yeah.
I've heard of it, but I've never actually like seen it or done it or anything. It sounds like way more energy than I've got.
It was way more intense.
Was it intense?
Yes.
I have to look into that. What about things like caffeine and sugar? I mean, obviously, caffeine, too much caffeine is not a good thing. Too much sugar is not a good thing. But just like, oh my God, I had a soda or I had whatever, I'm going to get breast cancer now. Is that fact, myth, dumb?
It's just like everything, everything in moderation. You can have certain amounts. I know for some women, caffeine in particular triggers more breast tenderness and can create knots. So you just have to be aware of that and know your body and know what is right for you. But certainly everything in moderation that is not necessarily at the top of the food pyramid on health.
So here's a legitimate question. I saw something that came across, I get it like a email thing about top news stories and stuff like that. And there's a plastic surgeon out there, it's in Dallas, who is saying that these millennials are coming to them to look like their Snapchat filter. I kid you not. And so that brings me to self-esteem, self-awareness. And when we're talking about breast cancer and such in this topic, obviously breast implants, if somebody is saying, well, I have to have larger breasts to be accepted or to get a man or whatever, and there's a fear that maybe breast implants are also going to cause breast cancer, is there any truth to that? Is that a myth as well?
Nothing that I know of that is linked to that directly, but certainly you do raise a good point, though, about another fear of why women in particular won't take that first step to find out, because having your breasts is part of what makes you a woman. And for women in particular, what's crazy is the highest risk factors for them is being a woman and getting older, and we can do nothing about that. And so with that in mind, you know, your breasts are very personal to you. And so oftentimes women won't take that first step because they have this fear of, that's taking something from me that makes me very feminine. And the idea of going through the process of removing the breast and then reconstruction, it's not an easy surgery, but there are options to help you feel whole again and feel like a woman.
Very cool. All right. So let's talk about this real quick. We're going to circle back around to a couple of things, but I do want to get to the walk, which is coming up. The date?
October 27th at North Park Center.
North Park Center, which is a cool mall. I love that place. And this is the, how many years has Komen been doing this walk in Dallas?
36 years. So we are the home of the race. The very first race was here in 1983, all women initially, and then the men joined us later in the 90s. So it's a legacy here in Dallas.
36 years. And Komen really has, we're talking about Komen Dallas, but Komen has a very big footprint in the Dallas area, correct?
Yes.
Like four or five different chapters?
Yes. So the national headquarters is here. Our affiliate, of course, Komen Dallas County. Plus, we have the Fort Worth affiliate as well as the North Texas affiliate.
Very cool. Komen-Dallas.org, where you can get more information on the walk itself as well as all of these preventative steps. That's what I love about websites and organizations like Komen is they're very transparent. Like, if you want to know something, it's there.
Yes.
So you don't have a reason to bury your head in the sand and say, oh, I didn't know. This is 2018, not 1918.
Correct.
And it's all right there at your fingertips on your phone. Go to Komen-Dallas.org. All the warning signs, all the preventative tips, everything is all those crazy myths that we talked about are all there. Trust me, it's there. You can wear deodorant. It's in writing on the website, folks. And please do. Especially for the walk. Especially when you come in to talk to Nicole about your fears. You come want a bumper sticker from me at an event. Please wear deodorant. I implore you to do so. Let's talk about support. So somebody goes in. They get diagnosed. They decide, all right, by God, this is what I'm going to do. We're going to fight this. We're going to win it, right? Support is huge. So talk a little bit about the support group mechanism, that Komen has for men and women who are fighting breast cancer?
For us, it's our robust network of survivors who are willing at a moment's notice to pick up the phone and call someone who is newly diagnosed. We much prefer to connect somebody who has just been diagnosed with someone who has gone through it, because who better to speak as an expert on what they experienced, talk about fears. I mean, talk about details down to who's the best nipple tattoo artist in town for when you have reconstruction. And so that's what we try to do, is link people that we find out who have been newly diagnosed with a survivor that has had a similar story, maybe similar type of breast cancer, similar prognosis and course of treatment, and connect them so that they can share their story, share their fears. And I think it really is meaningful to talk to somebody who's gone through it and come out the other side.
You mentioned the tattoo artist, and that's kind of cool, because I actually dated somebody who had gone through breast cancer as well for quite a while. And I like that thought, because there you're immediately taking what can be the scariest moment in your life and turning it into a fun positive. Like, how do I make the absolute best out of this and make it fun and do something cool and not feel like I'm losing my self-esteem or a part of me just because of life happening?
100%. And it's all about having a positive attitude from the amazing survivors that I have met who saw breast cancer and said, you know what, you're not going to beat me. And on top of that, you're not going to beat me mentally. And what I'm going to do is take this diagnosis and create a platform where I can reach out and help other women in whatever way that means. And so I always find that incredibly inspirational personally. I would think that if I had a diagnosis, I would instantly go to that why me place. And so I'm always inspired and just truly cannot believe some of these women and the power of their strength and their courage and how much they, in just within their very being, want to give back after having beat the disease. We have thousands of survivors who come out to the race, and I am, again, just incredibly grateful to them and so amazed and inspired by the fact they beat the disease and now they're paying it forward to allow others the ability to beat the disease as well.
So 36 years, so about 1982 is when, 83 was when Komen was founded.
Well, founded in 82.
Walk started in 83. Mm-hmm. First race started. So the Race for the Cure is coming up just right around the corner. We're going to put details. We're going to actually tweet this out momentarily at Impact Texas as well. Do you know off the top of your head, I'm sure this was in like your training somewhere along the line over the last 9 years, like where are we at now survivor rate versus percentage wise approximately versus say 1983?
I don't know the exact percentages, but I know that it certainly has been a decreased death rate by this point. Now we are still anticipating about 41,000 deaths in the United States in just this year alone. So there's still a lot of work to be done. We don't make any kind of representation that, you know, we're close to finding the cure and that this disease and this battle is close to being won. It's not. And again, that's because we're learning more and more about the disease. It's a very smart opponent. And as we start to learn that information, we're starting to chip away at that death rate gradually. But we certainly have come a long way since the 1980s for sure.
I'd say probably it's a safe bet that the biggest battle right now versus 1982 has still the mental battle, right? Because the research is there. The treatment is there. Like you said, the death rate is going down considerably. But still, if people are scared because they don't have insurance, because they don't have a family support, because they think they're going to lose a part of who they are as a person, the mental battle of breast cancer is, I would say, probably as great as the physical battle.
That's true, but I will also say that for as much as we work very hard to raise funds, the funds are not endless. And so need is outpacing resources, and that's why events like the Race for the Cure are critically important. That's about how we raise about 80% of our funding to give out to the communities to provide that support to uninsured, underinsured, those who are facing economic issues that that would probably keep them from receiving the care that they need. So, you know, along with fear on our incomes, we have to raise more funds so we can save more lives, because there does come a point in time, especially around October when everyone's, you know, thinking about breast cancer, that for some of our community partners, their resources get tapped out. And we can't do anything about that unless we have that community support to raise more funds to fund those services.
Yeah. So what I was just going to say kind of ties in with what you just mentioned, is that if you're in that place where you are diagnosed or you have the thought that maybe something's not right and you're going to bury your head in the sand, the best way to fight that is not isolating yourself, it's right. getting out. Best way to get out, Dallas Race for the Cure, which is October
27th.
North Park Center, right around the corner, October 27th. We will tweet that out momentarily. I think they just did that at Impact Texas. I am Hondo. She's Nicole Metcalf. Till next week, go make it a great week and dare to care.
You've been listening to Impact Texas on New Country 96.3 KSCS. Impact Texas is produced weekly as a public service of Cumulus Media Dallas. If you have a show idea or not-for-profit event, let us know about it at 214-523-2763. That's 214-523-2763. Thanks for listening to New Country 96.3 KSCS.